So Corey and Betsy Tenboom were these Dutch sisters, and they were arrested by the Nazis for housing Jews and giving them a place to stay, keeping them safe from the Nazis. And after a few months of them being taken prisoner, them being held captive, the day came that they thought they were to be released, that they were going to be let go, but to their shock, to their amazement, and to their horror, instead, they found themselves being transferred to a concentration camp. When they arrived at the camp, two guards were escorting them to their new barracks, to their new home, to where they would be staying here. And on the way, they passed what the guards called bunkers. And these bunkers were in this room, and they were these capsules about the size of a gym locker. And the guard said any insubordinate prisoner would be sent to the bunkers and would stay locked up in a bunker for the night. And as they were walking past these bunkers, two guards came out of this room with a man. The girls saw that he was alive because he was moving his legs, but it seemed like he didn't have any conscious control over this movement. His eyes were sunken in and rolled back in his head. Corey began to pray that God would just deliver them from this mess, deliver them from this prison, deliver them from this place where they were being held prisoner, where they were being held captive. And they continued to follow the guards as he walked down this wide street with sheds on either side, and those sheds were the barracks, and they stopped at this one. It was gray and featureless. But the girls instantly noticed that it was almost identical to the place that they were being held before, but this one, in fact, was furnished with bunks, with tables, with chairs, with places to sit down and rest. And after a long day of traveling, of standing, of walking, of hoping, and of terror, they were excited and relieved when they saw these bunks. But when they were walked into this barracks, there was a matron there waiting for them. And she said, anyone caught sitting down or lying down today would spend the night in the bunkers. Corey went into this state of panic and frantically asked Betsy, how are we going to get out of here? How long are we going to be kept here? Are we ever going to be free? And her sister Betsy said, what are you talking about? What better place is there for us to be right now? She wasn't concerned with her safety. She wasn't concerned with getting out of this prison. She said, Corey, look at these young women here with us. Look at these guards. Look at this matron. If they can be taught to hate, then they can also be taught to love. And we must find a way, you and I, while we're here, no matter how long it takes, no matter how long we're here. And in her excitement, she forgot to keep her voice to a whisper. So the matron came in and shushed her. She hushed her. And Corey looked at the matron, and what she saw was this gray uniform and a visored cap. But Betsy saw a broken human being that desperately needed the love of Christ. Corey had become so caught up in changing her circumstances that she forgot about what it looks like to serve the Lord where he had placed her in that time. So this morning, we find ourselves together in chapter 7 of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And at this point in his letter, he's beginning to respond to a letter that he received from the leadership of that church. And in verse 1, he quotes this letter saying, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But Paul's response to that, the first thing he says is, husbands, take your wives. Wives, take your husbands. Be with them. Lie with them. Give yourself over to them. And do not deprive them of their rights. Do not deprive them of this, for you have given your body over to them. But abstain only for a short time, and only by mutual consent, where you both say, we need to step away and take some time and be with the Lord in prayer. But even after that short time, come together again, so that you will not be tempted. Paul continues and he says, I'm single and I wish everybody were that way. I wish everybody could remain that way. But he also understood that some people were created in such a way that they needed that companionship, they needed that partnership in their lives to be able to fully serve the Lord. And he continues, even though he sees singleness as this great thing, he continues to say the bond of marriage is one not to be broken. Even though singleness is so good, you should not break that bond seeking to live the single life. For marriage is a covenant that is not meant to be broken. And if you have an unbelieving spouse, if your wife is not following after Christ, if your husband is not following after Christ, hold on to that marriage for their sake and for their children's sake, because you, as a believer, have an influence in their life, have an influence into where they will be in eternity. But he says, if your unbelieving wife or your unbelieving husband should leave, let them go. Don't go through undue measures to hold on to that marriage, for the reality is you don't know whether or not you will be able to lead them to Christ. You don't know if you will have any impact on their eternity. Skipping down to verse 25, Paul's no longer talking to married couples now. He's addressing those who are single, the virgins, the widows. And he says, if you're married, stay married. Hold on to that. But if you're single, remain single. It is good. And though it's not a sin to marry, those who do become anxious. And they worry about how to please their husband or how to please their wife. They become anxious about the things of this world, and the things of this world are passing. They are temporary. They will not always be there. So if you should marry, do so. If you're widowed, you are free to remarry. If you are virgin, it's not sin to marry. But those who remain single will be better off. And I quote Paul when I say, he says, this is for your own benefit, not to restrain you, but that you may live in a right way with a secure, undivided devotion to the Lord. So what is it that Paul's saying? Sometimes in all that, he seems to be a bit ambivalent, saying, it's good to be single, but those who are married, stay married. But in this case, let that marriage go. In this case, hold on to that marriage. It's okay to get married, but please stay single. It's good. So what is Paul saying? Paul's not trying to give us a list of do's and don'ts. Paul is trying to secure our undivided devotion to the Lord. And we'll go back to verse 17 here. In verses 17 through 24, I feel like what Paul is trying to say is summarized so well for us. I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord is a bondservant, as a bondservant, is a freed man of the Lord. And likewise, he who is free when called is bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So brothers and sisters, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. God, we thank you so much for setting aside this time for us this Sunday morning to just gather here in your name and in your presence, God. You're thick in this place today. We thank you for your word, God. And we're here to worship together. We're here to gather together, to give you praise, to give you thanks, God, to rejoice together. And we're here to dive into your word together. So God, open our hearts, open our minds, each and every one of us, to the word that you have for us today, and let it fall on good soil, God. We thank you for what you're doing here in this place today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray these things. Amen. So, in verse 17, Paul says, live the life that the Lord has assigned to you and the life that God has called you to. And he's talking about two things in one. He's talking about your present circumstances, where you are right now in your life, where God has you right now, where he has placed you right now. But he's also talking about the greater call on each and every one of our lives from Jesus saying, come and follow me. So what Paul is saying in this verse is lead the life that God has been given, that God has given to you. Where you are at, where he has you right now, there follow Christ. There be with the Lord. And Paul gives us a couple of for instances, a couple of examples in circumcision and in slavery, two things that would be very relevant to the church at Corinth at this time. It was common for Jewish Christians to force any Gentiles that were choosing to follow after Christ to seek out circumcision because it somehow made them more holy because Jesus was Jew and Jesus was circumcised. But Paul is saying that if you were a Jew when you started following Christ, don't seek to be a Gentile Christian. And if you were a Gentile when you started following Christ, do not seek to be a Jewish Christian, for both find their common faith in the obedience of God's commandment to love him and to love one another. And at the time, those who were slaves and started following Christ believed that their state as a slave and their status as a slave in society was somehow a mockery to the status that God was calling them to be heirs with Christ in heaven. And because of this, they believed that they needed to do everything in their power to experience freedom before they could serve the Lord, before they would be worthy of this call that he's placed on their life. But what Paul's saying to them is, if your master grants you freedom, that's wonderful, that's amazing, congratulations. But understand that your outward condition as a slave does not affect your life as a Christian. You can glorify God by showing that in Christ you are free despite your condition of slavery. And likewise, those who are free, those who are experiencing physical freedom, can glorify God by showing that they are slave to the Lord. Christ bought you with a price. Do not become bondservants of man. Do not become slaves to people, to what they think, to what they say, and to what they expect. How much of what we do or don't do in our lives is because of the expectations other people have placed upon us? Living in accordance to those expectations, living in accordance to what other people have to say, to what other people have to think about us, is a form of slavery, and it's how we become bondservants to men. And it's important to understand that here Paul's not saying to be your own person. Paul's not saying to be yourself. Paul is saying Christ bought you with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Be Christ. And don't think that you must get out of the condition you're living in for you to really serve the Lord, for you to be with God. Because in whatever condition you find yourself, there you can be with God. So in all this, Paul's still responding to the Corinthian church's questions regarding marriage. But what he has to say here about that goes way beyond just marriage. It goes way beyond singleness. Paul brings up circumcision and physical slavery. He brings up the Gentile Christian seeking circumcision and the Christian slave seeking to be free. But these people have become slaves to the expectations of others and have become bondservants of men because they believe that to be more holy, to be worthy to live the life that the Lord has assigned and that God has called them to, somehow they had to make changes to their physical current circumstances. I like to write spoken word, and in one of my pieces, I'm sharing my story, and I reference how this has become a reality in my own life. Unconsciously, I became a slave. You see, this is the allegory of my cave. Plato was writing about me, and my ego burst in a million directions. All I wanted was to see and be free, but all I saw were shadows. And if you know anything about Plato's allegory of the cave, there's these prisoners that are chained down facing this wall. And a good distance behind them is this flame that is illuminating this wall in front of them. So this wall is lit up, and day in and day out, they're staring at nothing but this wall. They see nothing but the wall. And in between these prisoners and this fire, there's this path that every day was taken by travelers, by merchants in their wagons, traders in their donkeys. But these prisoners never got to experience the life that was happening around them. They never got to see the reality of what was going on where they were at because they were stuck staring at a remnant of it, at something that was false, something that was taken from the reality and blurred a little bit, taken from their current circumstances and changed and placed in front of them. But then one of these prisoners was free and got to experience the life that was happening around them. He got to be a part of it. He got to see the sun. And he returns to them and says, guys, just turn around. Look at what is happening here. Look at what's happening around you. It's great. It's wonderful. And it's for us. And in my life, I was even better off than these prisoners because Christ had broken my chains. Christ had set me free. But I remained there and continued to stare at nothing but these shadows, these expectations people had on me. I knew the call that God had placed on my life. I knew what he was wanting me to do. I knew how he wanted me to serve him and that he wanted me to be with him where I'm at. I knew that he was calling me to be a light in my school. But I also knew that the expectations people had on me because in my school, because they knew about me, they knew who I really was, they knew my past, they knew the things that I had done. And because of those expectations of me continuing to do those things, because of the expectations of people saying, you're not worthy to be a steward of God's word because of these things you had done, because of that, I stayed and stared without chains. Allowing myself to unconsciously, without even knowing it, become a bondservant to man, becoming slave to their expectations for me, to what they thought about me, and to what they had to say to me. And Christ was saying, just turn around, I'm here. Be with me here. But I believe that somehow before I could do that, before I could turn around, I had to erase the things that I had done. I had to remove them from my existence and change my circumstances. So I stayed and I stared at these shadows. And perhaps, like me, some of us today are here and have become slave to the expectations people have about our past that are affecting our circumstances today. And maybe for others, we become bondservants that believe that somehow we need to change our current physical circumstances in order to somehow be more holy and be worthy of this call that God has placed in our life. Maybe for you, you're single and you have family and friends that are saying, you need to get married in order to be more holy. Before you can really serve the Lord, you need to have a family. Perhaps you're a child or a student, and you think that you have to wait until you're older before you can really make a difference in the kingdom of God because someone told you you were too young. Perhaps you're married wishing for the old days when you had more time to be attentive to your relationship with God. Maybe you're long out of school, wishing your job wasn't so demanding and stressful or boring so that you had the energy and the drive to follow after and to serve God. Maybe if only you had a different job, a better job, one that paid more, you could be worthy of this call. Or perhaps some of you have the thought that it would be wonderful to have a full-time job in ministry because then I could really serve God. But church, let me tell you this morning that living the life that God has assigned and that the Lord has called us to is not about transplantation, it's about transformation. It's not about somehow removing ourselves from these physical circumstances, from our current state, and placing ourselves somewhere else. It's about being where we are and allowing God to transform our hearts so that we're no longer caught up in these circumstances, but we're here saying, God, you have me here. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you and your kingdom here where I am, where you have me? And if you're waiting for God to deliver you from the mess you're in, from your current circumstances, then like Corey, you've missed the point completely. To be with and to serve the Lord in whatever condition you find yourselves in. Now, having said this, Paul's not saying that you have to stay in these conditions no matter what. We all go through changes in our life. We all go through seasons where we may need to transfer school. We may need to get a better job so that we could provide for our family. Maybe we decide that we need to pick up and move somewhere else, and that's okay. That's fine. Make those changes, but don't put Christ on hold while you do that. Because wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing right now and whatever condition you find yourself in right now is the best time for you to right now be with and serve the Lord. Today, not tomorrow, here, not there, is the time and place that God wants you to live fully to His glory because, church, your condition cannot diminish your ability to glorify God. We're going to come and we're going to worship together. The team's going to come forward and I'm going to pray. I want you guys and myself to really understand and grasp that when Christ called his disciples to come and follow him, he didn't do it from a distant cliff saying, come and get to me. He stepped into them with James and John. He stepped into their boat. With Matthew, he was at the tax collecting table and he said, come, follow me where you are. He stepped into their mess, into their current circumstances and said, walk with me here. Do not become bondservants of men. Wherever you find yourself, there be with God. God, we thank you for this word that you've given us today. We ask that you bless it. Help us understand that we are yours and we can be with you here where we are, no matter where that is for us, God. And we can glorify you in whatever condition we find ourselves. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for your grace and your love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray these things. Amen.